2024, I was busier than I'd ever been, preaching more meetings. Our church was just growing. We're starting a building program. Went to a doctor to look at some routine blood work, and the doctor's face dropped, heart sank, and said, You are really in trouble. We got to get you some help right away. And within 4 weeks, I'd had two minor operations and started planning on some treatment for really advanced and aggressive cancer. I had no symptoms. I didn't feel bad. Just total, complete shock. And here we are. Praise the Lord. But in answer to your prayers, I just want to give a short version. But in answer to your prayers, people are so kind. And people mean their heart, from their heart, they want to help you. I was sent so many bottles of potions and so many pills and dirt from Alabama that cures cancer. I had people call and rebuke me because there's no such thing as cancer. It's just in your mind. I'm just telling you. And so for about 4 weeks, we honestly, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And so I've been pastoring 40 years, and we decided to do what the people in our church had done who lived. And not do what the people in our church had done who didn't live. Anyway, a year ago this time, I couldn't be with you. I was sleeping probably 20, 22 hours a day. They gave me all the radiation you can give a person in their lifetime. And I'm 15 months down, 9 months to go of a daily experimental chemo kind of pill. And all I can tell you is when I got done all that radiation, I have to wait for 3 months if they can test you because you still glow in the dark and set off Geiger counters and all that stuff. And the doctor specialist came in. My wife was in the room, and she said, "This is an answer to this unsaved should answer to prayer. I've only seen this 3 times in my practice." Said what we try to do with the treatment you've been through is cut your number in half, and if we cut your number in half, you'd have lived 2 to 3 years, and your number is as close to zero as it can be. And three doctors told me, three unsaved doctors said it's the Lord. So praise God. Anyway, these treatments, people have asked me, they're very kind. How you feeling? I feel awful. Some days I feel terrible, but most of the time I just feel awful. I don't have any energy. I don't have any strength or anything. But God helps me preach, and that's really all I care to do. Other things I like to do, but I just love to preach the word, and God's allowing me to do that. So thank you for your prayers, and many of you sent us not potions, some seasons sent some potions. I'll try anything. You say, "Oh, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that." You think you're gonna die, you'll do a lot of things you wouldn't think you'd do. And anyhow, people sent us help with our expenses, and that's been a joy. I just thank you, brother, for not giving me those verses on contentment. Paul learned to be content. I have not learned that. Forgive me, Lord, but I just rejoice in the Lord always. It was good last night, that always and always. I liked that. I enjoyed that. So Brother Nathan said last night, he looked at the flyer for the meeting, and he noticed he was the only man with a beard. I looked at it. I noticed I was the only man that's old. And then they put me up here at midnight. So anyway, love your billboards. They're beautiful. Man, those billboards are great. They're really, really a blessing. So thank God for that. All right, we get all kinds of mail. We've been on the radio for so many years. We're up here for a long time on the radio. We get so many letters. This one's really interesting. We get prayer requests. This man says, Dear Pastor Knox, please pray for me. I live in constant fear that Donald Trump is going to deport my mother-in-law. She lives at 325 Maple Avenue, Los Angeles, California, in a light blue house. She gets home from work about 5:30 in the afternoon. That's all right. All right, Philippians 4:13. Let me preface this because I'm going to lose some of you before I get started. I believe every word in the King James Bible is inerrant. I believe the original writings were inerrant. I believe God preserved His words to this generation. We have it in the King James Bible. However, this is my verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The modern version said, I can do all things through Him, which strengtheneth me. Well, that helps anybody. Who's Him? Mr. Rogers? I mean, nobody knows. I know all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I'm going to say this, having told you what I believe about the Bible. That verse is not true by itself. And if there's a real important lesson in Philippians 4, it's that context is king. Now, in your Bible, what somebody did a few hundred years ago is they divided these letters and these books into chapters and verses, and they did that to make it easier to set up a Bible conference. It's easier for you to turn and find a verse. But what that tends to do is reduce our Bible to bits and pieces that are not connected. And God intends for all of it to be connected. I see pictures of football players, and the one guy's got under his eye Philippians 4:13. And there's a guy on the other side, on the other team, and he's got under the other eye Philippians 4:13. One of them is going to lose. I mean, you can both quote the verse, but one of you is going down. And the quarterback that's got Philippians 4:13 on his eye patch is going to throw some incomplete passes. And the guy that's got the verse on his wristband is going to drop the ball. You pull up here tomorrow afternoon, and on the peak of this roof out here is Brother Krotz, and he's got a towel around his neck and an S painted on his T-shirt. He says, "Well, Timmy, what are you doing?" "I can fly." Been in the wrong part of Mount Airy, man. "Oh, Tim, you can't fly." He said, "Oh, yeah, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." He's going to hit the pavement hard. So this is a great verse, but we've got to use it in its context. And it's good, these Bible conferences, you can't go forward, but you can go back. And so we're going to go back just a little bit. Father, help me tonight, please. Enable me to preach your word in a way that be a help to your people, I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, I'm going to go full-on positive for you tonight. Preachers claim we do these Bible conferences. People say, I get the hard verses. I keep getting the positive verses, and that's just not what I do. This is a real challenge for me. But most Christians, the problem they have in their Christian life is they don't have enough confidence in the Word of God to allow the Lord to do in their lives what He can do in their lives. They just don't believe He can. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was on my way to hell. Jimmy just preached about that. I was on my way to hell. And for me to get out of hell and into heaven required the complete and total removal of my sins through a sacrifice that was acceptable and pleasing to God. I couldn't do that And I stand here before you tonight through Jesus Christ, out of hell, sacrifice accepted, sins forgiven. I am a saved, born-again child of God. Here's what happened. I heard what I was lacking and believed it. I heard what Jesus Christ could do about it, and I believed it, and I allowed Him to work that work in my life, and I was taken from death to life, from darkness to light, from the hand of the devil to the hand of God by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Every single step of the Christian life is just that simple. The only limitation, the only hindrance is not the world, it's not the devil, it's our unbelief. I could have been saved years before I was. Unbelief stood in the way. I could have been born again a long time before I was born again. Unbelief stood in the way. Now, I'm telling you tonight, you can be, you won't all have the same gifts, you won't ever be what someone is, but you can be everything that God wants a Christian to be as soon as you are ready to believe God to do that and work that in your life. I mean, look, the biggest thing God ever had to do for you was save you from your sin. Well, He's already done that. So you have, in your salvation, you have ample proof of what God can do in your life. So let's take a look at the context here. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's see if we can find some things. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Now look, that's a lot better than stopping a speeding locomotive. That's a lot better. Look, God, there's a million things God hasn't asked me to do. He's asked me to not be a liar. He's asked me to speak truth. To live truth, to be true, to spouse, children, brethren, right? You can spend your whole life lying. You can spend your whole life deceiving and being deceived. You can live in a world where you say, the news is fake news, it's a bunch of lies, and the people calling it fake news are lying. It's the world is filled with lies and liars, but God can do this thing for you. He can make you, teach you, show you how to live a life of truth. You can be truthful through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you. What sort of things are honest? You say, preacher, what's the difference between honest and true? That's simple. That's simple. Brother Adam, one of Brother Adam's children comes to him, and he says, which one are you? And they remind him, and I'm sorry, but... And they say, one of his girls says, Daddy, I want to go with Billy. Where are you going to go? We're going to go to the Dairy Queen, and we're going to go to Walmart, and then we're coming home. And so she gets back that evening, and he says, honey, where you been? I've been to Dairy Queen. I've been to Walmart. Very good. She didn't tell him about the hour parked at the lake. Now listen, she didn't lie, but she wasn't honest. You know what they say in the courtroom? Are you going to tell the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Now that nothing but the truth part, that's the true, that's the not lying part. But that full truth, whole truth, man, don't people cut corners. Don't people leave out this and leave out that. You say, you pastors, you sit there in that office, Brother Jimmy's, he didn't used to talk like that, but he's about 5-6 years into pastoring now, and it's getting to him. I got a picture of a guy. He looked like he just fell off the back end of the tribulation. He says, I love pastoring. I'm 35. He looked like he's 100 years old. Anyway, so people sit there, and that man will tell you how what his wife is doing in that marriage, and he's not lying. And she'll tell you what her husband's doing in that marriage, and she's not lying. And the reason you can't fix it is all the stuff they're not telling you. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has the power, if you'll enable Him, to be entirely, totally truthful in your conduct and in your actions in a world where that is frowned upon, in a world where people are afraid to be honest one with another. Hallelujah. He says, whatsoever things are just, just do the right thing. Whatsoever things are pure. Brother Adam did a great job on this today. It's a dirty world. It's a filthy world. I love coming up here to Mount Airy. I know you think, and these hills around, I know you think everything's so corrupt and all. Brother, you don't drive down the roads up here and see nearly naked women on billboards on the side of the road and people going grocery shopping in their bathing suits and stuff, man. Florida's a wicked place. You know something? You can be pure in your thoughts and pure in your mind through Jesus Christ in a dirty world. I know all that stuff they're pushing in the music and all that stuff they're pushing in entertainment. I'm telling you, a boy can stand at the marriage altar nervous and scared and shaken, and that girl can walk down that aisle in her beautiful dress and the two of them be as pure as the day they were born in this world, in this generation today, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that. I love doing those weddings, and I saw you may kiss the bride, and you see them try. They don't even know how to turn their head and how to line that thing up right. What a blessing! What a blessing! You know what else you can do? You can meet in that fellowship hall in the church house and celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary, having never kissed anybody since you kissed her at that marriage altar. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, here's what we're telling you. It's a book of commandments, and you're going to fail to keep them if you try in your flesh and your energy, but through Jesus Christ our Lord, you can do all the things that God has asked you to do. Praise the Lord. He says, whatsoever things are lovely.
Well, bless God, all this love stuff. I want to talk about love.
I'll tell you something, man. My dad, he grew up in the Great Depression. His father's killed. He's 1 year old. He's 16 years old in a submarine in the Second World War. He was a hard man. He was a hard, hard man. I never heard him. I never heard him say to my mother, I love you. I never heard him say to any of us four children, I love you. All the days of his life, he just didn't talk that way. It wasn't part of his nature. I'm telling you what I didn't learn from my daddy, I can learn from my Heavenly Father. I can tell my wife that I love her. I can tell Timmy Crouch, I love you, brother, I do. It's not weird. It don't make me nervous. Now, it's not my personality. It's not how I was trained. But Jesus Christ the Lord, is God love? Is the fruit of the Spirit love? Come on, fellas, this won't hurt you for me to say this. He can make you lovely. Amen. You can be rough and tumble and fight and serve in the military and all that, praise God, and still love your little girls and still love your wife. Jesus can do that for you. Whatsoever things are good report. So what's that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Now, some of you are for dating, and some of you don't believe in dating, you believe in courting, and some of you don't believe in courting, you believe in, I don't know what you call it. Whatever you believe in, here's all I'm going to tell you. Here's what's okay to do on Saturday night. What you'd want reported to the church on Sunday morning. Man, back in the day when people come visit church and they check that box, you don't want a pastor come visit my house. They don't do that much anymore. But now we used to just show up people's houses, you know, unannounced, knock on the door, and it'd take about 10 minutes to get the door answered because you got to hide all the magazines and the beer cans and, you know, throw a blanket over the TV and all that kind of stuff, you know. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Anything in your life that you wouldn't want reported to the church, Jesus Christ can give you victory over that. And anything that you ought to be doing that you want to stand up like a missionary and say, here's what my family did in the last month. We did this for Christ. We did that for Christ. You can do that through Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, most saved people, they never do anything they couldn't do without the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't knock on doors. Why not? It's just not my personality. What about the Spirit of God? Well, I couldn't do public ministry. That's just, you know, I just feel kind of uncomfortable about that. Well, what about the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can give you the power to do whatever it is God has asked you to do. And then it shifts from commandments, I'm trying to force myself to obey, to one opportunity after another for God to show His power in my life. Yeah, hallelujah. Whatsoever things good report, be in virtue, be in grace, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace should be with you. Now, we preach a lot about the Apostle Paul, and it's easy to do because a third of our New Testament involves him in some way or another. But here's what I don't hear very often. And look at the context here. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What have you learned about Paul's life? Pretty impressive. What have you... it's amazing. What have you received, Romans through Hebrews? Okay, we're not... You want to argue about Hebrews? I'm not going to argue with you. It's too cold outside. And heard all that preaching, Apostle Paul, and seen in me all those missionary journeys and travels and the things we've been read about. Okay, here's what he said. Do. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God intends? Every one of us to measure up to Paul. Well, I could never be that. That's not what Philippians 4 says. Paul says, here's how I live, do it. He says, I'm a pattern. Well, lay yourself down, let God cut you out along the dotted lines and hold you up and be another Paul. And you hear the silence? Well, I don't know, but I don't think anybody lived like Paul. Well, as long as you're thinking like that, you're not going to live like Paul. But he said, what you've seen me do, do it, and you can do it through Christ, which strengthens you, because that's how I did it. He's a blasphemer. He's a persecutor. He's an injurious man. He's a murderer. And look what Christ did with him. Man, you're 100 miles ahead of Paul when you get started. You grew up in church and Sunday school. Your mother and father prayed over you before you were born. You've been hearing Christian music all your life. You didn't grow up going from town to town putting Christians in jail. You took vacation time to go to Bible conferences. What could God do with you if He did all that with Paul? You just got to believe Him. Look back in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Good message we heard on that today. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And, see here, look, I'm going to give you another verse that isn't true. By itself, the peace of God which passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, then how come half the people in our churches are on pills? And the other half are so scared that their candidate isn't going to win. I don't see a lot of peace of God which passes understanding. But look at verse 7 again. And. Well, you don't start something with and. You continue something with and. Conjunction, junction. What's your function? Hey. That's not contemporary music. That's 40 years old. And is God saying verse 7 doesn't move down the tracks unless verse 6 is the locomotive? Is that fair enough? So I'm supposed to take everything to God in prayer and supplication. Oh, wait, that's not enough. With thanksgiving. I tell you, I've known fear this last year and a half. I never knew you could be as afraid as I've been afraid. I have known confusion. I've been through anger. I've got cancer. And those people don't? I've been through all that. Now, you know what's robbed me of my peace during this whole cancer thing? Not the cancer. I'm just being honest with you. I have not yet been able to thank God for putting me on the shelf for a year. I'm just telling you. So whenever I'm communicating with the Lord about what I'm going through, I can't do it on the terms, or I haven't done it on the terms He requires for me to land in verse 7. I can't get verse 6 worked out enough to get to verse 7. Now, you know what my problem is? The same thing that kept me from getting saved during those 2 years I was under conviction and knew I was going to hell. I wasn't yet ready to trust Jesus Christ with that part of my life. I can be a joyful, rejoicing, happy Christian in spite of disease and illness through Jesus Christ. So cancer is not my problem, I'm my problem. And if the devil's not the problem, I'm the problem. See what we're saying here? So I'm going to read you real quickly. I would just come back to chapter number 1. I'm just going to read you some things that we're asked to do in this book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 10. That ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I can be, this will shock those of you that go to the Blue Ridge camp meeting, I can be offensive. I'm capable. And at the same time, I can be filled with the fruits of righteousness. What determines that? Whether or not I let the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ have control over my flesh, or whether or not I just set the Lord aside and operate in the flesh. Clear enough. Look at chapter 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. Look at verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So I can, as we heard about today, I can suffer and have Christ-like conversation. Or I can suffer and be a whining, complaining baby. Isn't that right? Now, I don't know about you. You'd have to come visit us in August. But I do. I enjoy coming up here. It is a blessing. I enjoy your church. I enjoy this part of the world. I enjoy the singing. I enjoy the preaching. I enjoy the fellowship. And then I walk out that door. It might not be 34 below zero, but it's whatever 34 below is, it feels like that. I can walk out of a 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. session in the church house and be unhappy before I can get to the car. And I'm not being beaten with rods or shipwreck. It's just cold. That's all it takes. Now, is it not fair to say I'm capable of better? Is it not fair to say that Christ could keep me as conversant in spiritual matters on the way to the automobile as I was in here? Even in here, it's a little chilly, brother. It's a joy to pastor. Ask Jimmy. Within 5 minutes, I have people asking me why it's so cold, why it's so hot, why the air is blowing on them, why there isn't any air blowing. And then we're going to sing victory in Jesus. And ain't nobody got any victory. But we can have it. Chapter 2, look at verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14, Philippians 2, 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's why we don't have business meetings at our church. Ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now hear me. I'm not throwing off on these kids. I'm glad for every kid gets saved in an FCA meeting and takes some kind of stand for Jesus Christ. I've had enough of these. I want to thank God we won the game today, and then cussing in the next sentence. Could we have some conservative politicians just wants to say, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus, and not curse like a sailor? Well, no offense to you sailors. You know what you just read there? It is commanded that we don't murmur. It is commanded we be blameless. And the crooked and perverse nation in which we live is not capable of stopping our light from shining. So what's limiting us? Our unbelief. Jesus Christ has the strength for obedience. The world can't stop obedience. The devil can't prevent obedience. We just need more faith in the Lord. I mean, I will sound full-blown charismatic on you, but there's a lot of stuff in here we can name that we don't claim. And we're entitled to claim it. Chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. If in anything you'd be otherwise minded, God's revealed even this unto you. You know, people say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, you're supposed to be. That book of Hebrews tells you half a dozen times. God expects you to go on to perfection. You know when we read that or when a preacher says that? Well, I just don't think that's possible. Well, then you quench the Spirit. It wasn't the Spirit's inability. It was your unbelief. It wasn't God's lack of power and might. It was my unwillingness to receive it. Brother, sister, here's what I'm telling you. I can do, I am not adding the Bible. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm giving you the context of the Word of God. I can do all things Christ desires if I will let Christ help me do them. Praise the Lord. I went to church one time. They asked me to preach a meeting, a week of meetings on evangelism, and I did. We covered witnessing, and we covered door knocking, and we one night I did a message on how easy it is to give out gospel tracts. And I went to the back of the church. I had a tract rack. I shouldn't give this away. And I took the tracts out of the rack and wrote my initials and the date and put them back in the tract rack. I went back the next year to preach in that church, and they were in that tract rack. 5 nights of preaching on evangelism, the easiest thing you can do is put a tract somewhere and run. And you couldn't get people to do that. You know, brother, I've stopped at Ridgeland and seen your tracks in the gas pump. And you weren't nowhere around. I'm just kidding. Now watch this. How much is it? It's $5. Okay. Here you are. I can hand a piece of paper with words on it to a total stranger. So what's keeping you from handing a piece of paper with words on it to a total stranger if instead of those words being the United States of America $5 that says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? What's the problem? Well, it's not against the law, so can't blame the government. It must just be me. It must just be thee. Here's what we need. And I'm not trying to be Joel Osteen on you. But let me tell you something. If every time you read a commandment of God in the Bible, instead of saying, I don't want to do that, what if you quoted Philippians 4:13? Instead of saying, well, I can't do that, what if you quote Philippians 4:13? You couldn't get yourself out of hell, but Jesus did. You couldn't get yourself born again, but Jesus took care of that. Don't you think He could get you out of your fear and your rebellion and your stubbornness and your lack of confidence? Sure He could. Just give Him a chance. This church here, many of you churches participate in public ministry, and you never used to. Maybe you never even thought about it. And then when you did think about it, you said, well, we couldn't do that. And then you ride through town, And some poor fella is doing his community service by spinning a sign that says, "We sell mattresses." Somebody else is standing in the middle of town wearing a Statue of Liberty outfit, and it's got a sign that says, "We buy gold." You couldn't stand up there and hold a sign that says, "Jesus saves"? I talked to a preacher one time. He said, "I couldn't do that. I could never do that. I'm so scared." I said, "Brother, you don't even live here. Your home's 1,000 miles away." He said, "Well, somebody I know might come through town." So he got a scripture sign, and he cut 2 eye holes in it. And he looked out through the eye holes. And for a year later, his whole church is out doing public ministry up there where they were. You know what happened? It's something he couldn't do. Christ could do it. This is what I'm frustrated about. Honestly, I'm frustrated. This is why. There has not been any law passed shutting down bus ministries, Saturday morning door knocking, Friday night soul winning. We've just quit. We've just given up. "Well, you know, back in the old days, they had those cottage prayer meetings, those all-night prayer meetings." Well, who told you couldn't? We are selling ourselves short. We are capable of earning a college degree, and we just keep reporting for first grade. And I'm telling you, the world's not limiting us, and the devil's not limiting us. We are limiting our own power and effectiveness and spiritual growth because we quote pretty verses and we make... It is nice. But you don't believe it. It's just decoration. Might as well have an elf on there. I knew he'd say something before we got out of here. It's just some token of our religion. Believe it. "That's a new year. I don't think I could give." You could through Christ. "I don't think I could stop that habit." You could through Christ. You know what? You can smoke 4 packs a day for 10 years. And the day you want God to take it away from you, He'll do it. Through Christ. Through Christ. We had a man in our church, he's in heaven now, came home from Vietnam and had a really bad time over there, really messed him up, and I'm sympathetic, I am, and he ended up living in the woods, begging on the corners, total drunk, for years and years and years and years of his life, and one night he heard the Bible preached. Trusted Christ as his Savior, not only never take another drink, no DTs, no withdrawals, no hallucinations, nothing. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know what your habit is. Jesus is stronger. I don't know what your fear is. Jesus is stronger. I don't know what commandment in the Bible is bothering you. Jesus Christ has the strength to give to you, to make you everything He made the Apostle Paul. We read those things Paul did, and Paul said, "Not I, but Christ that liveth in me." And then we read that, we say, "Well, I'm not Paul." Yeah, but the same Christ lives in you. If Christ could make that of Paul, He could make that of you. Praise the Lord. Brother, sister, don't limit God's ability to make you a better Christian, a more victorious Christian. We're the only thing holding us back. We act like we're in some communist country, you know, and they're going to come. They're not going to beat you with rods. Not yet. Not yet. They're not going to fasten you in the prison stocks in your feet. Not yet. Not yet. It might come, but why are you practicing for that now? Well, you know, one day we're going to be an underground church. But we're not today. Amen. Next time you read a commandment, you can do it through Christ who strengthens you. Next time you read a go, you can do it through Christ who strengthens you. Next time you read a stop, You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. What did He do when you finally trusted Him to save you? Gave you a brand new life. What could He do with that life if you trusted Him to take control of it? Oh, everything Paul did and more. Lord help us. Lord help us. Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Every time I've trusted Jesus Christ for anything, He has come through. Oh Lord, if I would just trust Him for everything. Help us, God, we pray. Have your way in the invitation time. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Pastor's coming. The altar.